Sarah. Wait, everybody, listen to this. Are we in the lunch hour?
No.
Well, that'd be like the time my grandmother used to tend bar at a place in Silverton called My Place. And My Place, it was this tavern. And the gimmick was that out front it looked like a barn. Anyway, so my grandmother used to, because she's all class, my grandmother used to, this is when she was not dead. My grandmother attended bar at this place called My Place. And there was a guy who bet another guy $10 that he wouldn't take a drink out of a spittoon. You know, with the, you know, the spittoon. And so the guy, as my grandmother would relate the story, the guy picks up the spittoon, having bet $10, puts down a big drink of the spittoon. No, no.
That's like taking a sip of a beer with a cigarette in it.
No, no, it's worse than that. And then he just drinks the whole thing. He just drains the whole spittoon. And I, of course, and I'm like five, and she's telling me this story. Did Grandma ever tell you about the time she saw somebody drink a spittoon? And then I said, well, if he only had to take a swig to win the $10, Grandma, why did he drink the whole spittoon? And you could tell that's exactly where she was leading me, because then she looks at me and she says, because once you start drinking out of a spittoon, you just can't stop. It's all connected, you see. And then she just cackled. And then she wandered back onto the kitchen. And then she died later, painfully. Okay, it's 503-733-2970. This all started because Sarah picked up her Viso just now, which is always around the studio. And she took a big swig of it, and then she got that horrified, I've just consumed a specimen, look on her face.
Yeah, because I packed one in my bag for the party, and I'm drinking one right now because I want to use it as a mixer, maybe. And so I'm having one, and it's cold because I've been keeping it in the refrigerator the past couple hours. I took a sip of it. It was, like, hotter than room temperature. Oh. Yeah. Okay, I'm done.
By the way, we should be careful because there are four identical bottles of Viso in the studio right now, and it's going to be very easy for those to become confused. I'm going to write Rick on the top of mine right now. Did you hear, speaking of bottles in the studio, did you hear Lycus get locked out of the studio last night?
No, I heard about it, though. What happened?
It was really funny. He worked with it. He made it funny because he, and we'll talk to Susan Reynolds in just a moment, who's at Barracuda, but Lycus was at the CBS studios doing a show last night. And he accurately described it. It's like Get Smart. It's like there's 15 doors between the bathroom and the studio. And you tell me. I mean, I've been here for like a year, and I get confused trying to figure out where the hell I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
So he leaves. Three doors slam behind him. He goes to the bathroom, does his business. He comes back with the key card, the electronic key card. The electronic key card doesn't work. You know, computer says no. The key card doesn't work. And he's trying to get in, but of course he's behind three soundproof doors. So there's a lot of time like, hello, I need to get in to do this. Can anybody hear me? I'm out here, for the love of God, for God's sake, hello, and he said he was,
that is so awful.
Except it was probably not even that audible, because it's a soundproof door, so it's probably like,
that door is huge,
it's going, hello, I'm out. Somebody let me in. Hello. And it's like, meanwhile, the bumper music is playing.
Then they start playing Viva Tom Lycus.
Yeah, it's just a lot of, Tom will be back in 2 seconds. Here's Tom.
Hello. Somebody let me in. It's me, Tom. I'm in the bathroom, for God's sake. Hello.
And he said that he only eventually got let in because somebody walked by, like some board op walked by. And here's, you know, Tom, hello, you know, just desperately trying to get in. So there you go. Well, because every radio person, as you know, they all have that dream. Or it's like you lock yourself out of the studio, or the bridge goes up on the way to work, or I have this one constantly where the phones are ringing and I can't answer them. I just press the button and they never pick up. Let's see if that's, let's see if this is Susan Reynolds. Susan Reynolds from CBS Radio Marketing. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi, hello.
Susan.
Hi, how are you doing, Susan?
I am reporting live from the scene at Barracuda.
Fantastic.
All right, so what does it look like?
Well, it looks awesome, and there's a big, long line that's starting at the door and going all the way down the block.
Fantastic.
All the way to the end. Oh, yes, and there are a rowdy bunch and very excited about what is about to take place here.
But
I'm
Susan
just going
Reynolds.
Down the end of the street here to see how far this line goes. All right, I'm all the way to Burnside now.
Susan, are you excited?
Yeah, it's all the way down past the Alexis Greek restaurant.
Fantastic.
So this is going to be great. I mean, the place looks fantastic. You know, Tom has that very cool setup on the stage that looks like the front grill of a car.
I haven't seen this yet because he used to have just a regular table.
Yeah.
And then he had a table that looked like a bomb shelter design. And now there's one that looks like the front of a Humvee.
Yes, exactly. And it's got a couple of little video screens on either side of it built into the grill. So we've got some things, you know, projecting up there. So it's cool. It's going to be great. So the doors will be opening in just a couple of minutes.
Fantastic. So the door, and that's people, some wanted to ask, people want to know if the doors are opening.
The doors will be opening in a couple of minutes. There's a guy standing here who has a shirt on that says Save Sarah Dillon.
That was when I was fired a long time
ago. That's when Entercom fired her after saying that they were big fans.
And he's second in line, by the way.
Excellent.
So I bet he will be up front and waiting for you to get here, Sarah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Well, here's the deal. So, in fact, this is a good time to figure out.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except.
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
Scotty J.
End of message.
All right, so do we have a cab standing by?
Yes, you do.
Is it Dante? Is Dante going to drive us?
Yes.
Is he going to kill us and bury us in a shallow grave?
I didn't even have to make a call. That's the cool
thing. What time is the cab going to be here?
2:45.
Susan, how do you feel about us leaving the coin tower at 2:45?
I feel okay about it.
It's only like 3 minutes away.
I would like you to leave the coin tower now so you could get over here and be part of all this.
No, should we leave earlier, Susan? Should we get there at like 2:30 or would you...
Okay, but see, then what are we just going to fill this time with? Then it's going to be 35 minutes of Scotty J humming to himself.
Well, yeah, that is good for a couple of laughs.
Well, I suppose.
I heard some of the Scotty J air checks. I think you just put those on and get over.
Scotty, why don't you just host the show?
Listen, I can't even stand to hear those air check tapes. And I think it's funny because I handed them to you originally. And nobody ever listened to him, so that's the,
you're right.
That's the beauty
we
of it.
We sat there and said, what are we going to do with this?
Yeah, well, we will be en route, though. We will be there. We will be leaving here later in the hour, and we'll be headed that way. So the party...
Yeah, Tom has already been over here, and they pulled up in one of those big, like, stretch excursions. It
Excellent.
Was pretty cool.
Very cool. And
so he'll be back soon.
And so that is getting underway 3:06 today. Tom Likas live. And how many, really, as we always say, how often do you get to go and be part of a nationally broadcast radio show? This is cool stuff, man. So... Barracuda, downtown Portland, 9 Northwest 2nd. No ticket, no pass, no minimum, nothing. Just get your ID, be 21, and be there, as they say.
Exactly. We'll be here waiting.
All right, cool. Thank you, Susan.
Okay, see you guys soon.
All right, Susan Reynolds. Thank you. Thank you, Del Paxton. Susan Reynolds there, CBS Radio Portland marketing guru. Let's talk to Benjamin. Benjamin, where are you at?
Rick Emerson, I'm outside Barracuda. The line wraps around the block here.
Fantastic. You are at Barracuda right now, getting ready to walk on inside. Where are you at in the line?
I'm pretty much towards the end. There's only a couple people here behind me. I got down here just about at 2 o'clock.
All right, so you are the caboose of the line. They're getting ready to open the doors here in a skosh. They're going to let everybody in. Did you see Tom's excursion go by?
I'm not sure.
All right, well, I know that he...
I wasn't really paying attention to that.
And excuse, that's like an SUV, right? Stretch SUV.
I'll be on the lookout for it, though.
Excellent. All right. Benjamin, thank you, brother. We'll see you there in just a while.
All right. Hey, you know, I had one thing I was going to ask you real quick.
Yes.
I pulled up to this, you know, Pan Park place just a couple blocks down Third, and the guy comes up to me and says, give me your keys. I'm like, what? Is that normal? They just take your keys?
Did he have a gun?
Well, no, he had an attendant thing, and he had the keys to the box where he locked the keys up. I made sure to watch that.
Did he look like Jeremy Piven?
Well,
give me my firebrick keys!
I wasn't exactly parked, you know, in the square, and I'm like, hey, you know, let me grab my keys. I'll go move my car. And he's like, no, I'm going to do that for you. I said, well, I'd really feel better if I move my car.
Yeah, they're going to Ferris Bueller it up for you.
Seriously. You're sure he worked there, right? He wasn't just some guy in a ski mask.
God, I'm hoping so. I'm a little nervous about it. But I said, man, I'd really feel better if I moved my own car. And so the guy says, you know what, you just grab your ticket and just get out of here. I'm like, no, wait a minute. All right, fine. You can move my car, whatever you got to do. I'm like it, so.
That makes it all right. Thank you, Benjamin.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Benjamin in line. Let me get my keys. All right, thank you, Scotty J.
Okay, thanks.
Well, we'll figure it out in the break. All right. Let's welcome now to the... thank you so much. Right to the Rick Emerson Show. Oh, we're not going to play the new... the brand new one. Don't we have some new one that we made for, or that Scotty J made? Wait, hold on.
Brilliance. That's all I can say.
No.
Sheer, unadulterated
brilliance. This isn't it. No, this is... Oh, this one makes my head hurt. No, this...
The train left New York at 300 miles per hour and traveled a distance of 683 miles. Tell me, sir, what time was that train reach Chicago?
You fucking delinquent, sir!
What
are you fucking... I know!
What the hell is wrong with you people?
so chaotic.
Good God. And we're done. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Scott Daly. How are you?
I'm okay.
That's like an aneurysm.
I know. My head's about to explode. Big explosion.
All right. Hey, am I the only one who finds endless comedic potential in Marley Matlin playing a lesbian? Having lots of lesbian sex on the L Word?
No.
Okay.
Why? Why would it be funny, Rick?
Because she's deaf, Rick.
Because she's
deaf.
That
problem?
Because you're making fun of her disability.
Are you, yes.
Yeah, you're sitting here to go,
not her.
Is that what you're doing?
Why would you do that?
I saw Rick's finger
going for the dump button.
Oh, seriously. Well, no, I'm dumping that. See, no.
What?
You're making... That's
Scott, you've got to work with Rick.
That's the sound that Marley Matlin makes while gagging on a pretzel.
Yes.
George W. Bush style.
I'm so confused. I really don't know what you're talking about.
Fine. She's hot, man.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Marley
Matlin. What's the problem with
that? There's no problem.
I saw her outside of the Baghdad filming What the Bleep Do We Know.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then why are you freaked out by it?
I'm not.
Because she's deaf?
I wasn't freaked out. I said turned on. I said it's hot. Because she's hot. She's full on hot.
I'm the only one has a problem with this.
I didn't say a problem with that. There's endless comedic potential in it. Her and Cybill Shepherd. Matlin has it. Get this. Matlin gets it on with Jennifer Beals' character.
Ooh.
Boy, I saw Flashdance for the first time in like 10 years the other day.
Yeah.
Laying on the sofa at home, flipping by.
I can't even get through that movie. It's so bad.
Right. It was nothing on the, you know, I have the TiVo, but it was just filled with a bunch of crap that I just wasn't necessarily in the mood for it. I didn't feel like a Woody Allen film. I didn't feel like the war documentary. I didn't, all the stuff that normally fills up my TiVo. Documentaries about fire ants. There's nothing to, I did something I almost never do, which is just a graze. And so I just turned on the TV. And it was right as she's, like, riding a bike, you know, up a hill or whatever. And then she's, you know, with the stupid...
Was she still in her construction workers outfit?
The tuxedo cuffs. No, it's...
The great coveralls.
It's when she's in the restaurant and she's trying to seduce a guy by sucking in a lobster. You know what I'm talking about?
I've blocked that movie out. No.
It's so horrible
to watch.
What part
of the lobster?
I don't know. It's like...
Oh, like the head?
No, she...
I'm like the claw. I don't know.
There's a horrible sequence, and it's right up there with Elizabeth Berkley having a seizure while she's in a pool with Kyle MacLachlan, by the way. It's right up there. There's a horrible sequence where... What's her name? Alex? Is that her name in the movie?
Yes.
Dude, I don't know.
So you look at Tool. Nerd. Where she's in a restaurant with What's-His-Guts, the guy with the bag.
The guy who was in the movie with Alicia Silverstone, the babysitter?
The guy,
he was
that's J.T. Walsh.
That's the same guy.
No, you're thinking of J.T. Walsh.
Are you sure?
Mr. Tucker! That, the babysitter?
No. Okay, let's move on.
We are all either 15-year-old girls or gay. Here's the thing. No, she's sitting in a restaurant.
Okay.
She's sucking in a lobster at the end.
No, but here's... No, just this conversation has become so... Like, why do we know any of this stuff? Why, Ellen?
Oh, sweet Lord.
She's sitting in a restaurant with a guy. It's a guy that's got the kind of Jufro, and they're sitting there. No, and they're there.
You're very frustrated.
And she's eating lobster, and she puts her foot up, and she's sort of like putting her foot, like, in his thigh. She's, like, rubbing the inside of his thigh with her foot underneath the table. His ex-wife comes up, and his ex-wife's, you know, like, catty. And is like, are you the new model? And... You know, and Jennifer Beals is like, oh, yeah, rah, rah, rah. And they go back and forth.
Yeah.
And then the ex-wife leaves. Okay, you're missing the point. The point is, after she leaves, she does this thing, which I guess to Joe Esterhaas seemed really seductive. Where Jennifer Beals...
Put it in the script.
She's eating lobster, and she picks up a piece of lobster... It's like all dripping butter, and she puts it into her mouth, and she's all looking at him, like locking eyes with the guy with the butter-coated lobster in her mouth, and she's all... And then the camera stays on her for what seems like an eternity, like 45 seconds, and it's like, I can't look away. I'm like, oh, God! You know, and she... You know, and then he's running, no! You know, and it never ends.
Oh, succulent butter.
The point is, it's just the worst movie ever. Flashdance is so bad.
Yeah,
and then
bad.
You realize...
I've never seen the end of it. My sister and I rented it for a girls' night. Couldn't even get through
it. It's awful.
It's
awful.
Horrible.
And then you watch it, though, and the
Maniac
funny thing
song.
Is, you watch it and you see how Esterhaas just strip mines his own creativity because so many sequences from Flashdance ended up in Showgirls later.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, there are large sections of Showgirls that are just Flashdance... We're entering that zone again. It's like Flashdance with boobs. There are boobs in Flashdance, though. when she goes to rescue her friend who's dancing at the strip club. And she pulls right into the rain, like, nude, wearing only a trench.
Now I'm getting them confused. I'm like, oh, is that when she's dating the guy with the cornrows? But that's so gross.
You got more natural talent than anybody I ever seen. I wrote this piece just for you, he says in Showgirls.
Okay.
No, in Flashdance is when she pulls her friend on the street. You call that dancing in there? What you're doing in there isn't dancing. You're selling yourself.
I think we ought to have a Rick Emerson Film Festival with Flashdance and Showgirls.
I wish I was dead. All right.
Fantastic.
Hey, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio. What's up in your world?
I had a really bizarre dream the other night with...
Were you sucking a lobster?
No, actually.
Okay.
It oddly involved Dennis Pittsburgh and his wife.
As in to swing.
No, it was a really creepy dream. I dreamt that we dig this. I dreamt that we were all at their funeral. And we were all
way
sitting
to bring the room down. Thanks.
We were all sitting at a big dining room table, and they, both Dennis
and
his wife,
them.
Were no, not quite that weird. But they were laid out on the table in front of us, and their eyes were all glazed and white. And then they rose up, like much like in Beetlejuice when you know,
when they
do
the dance?
Yeah, when they do the dance and the bride in the dress. That was the dream I had the other night. It was very creepy.
What was the baby?
I don't know.
Why are you telling us?
I just thought I'd share my dream I had with y'all. Trying to get a little insight to Scott Daly's world.
Keep going.
Yeah, it was very strange, though. Their eyes were white. They were wide open, and they were dead. And it was very strange. So, Dennis, my man, if God, I hope nothing happens to you next week or so, because otherwise I'll be really freaked out. All right. Yeah.
You sound like the psychic.
It was very
strange. I watched myself while I was crossing the street.
Do you know somebody with an H in their name? All right. Well, there you go.
Now things are.
Was it you that was talking to me the other day about? No, it was Ryan who works across the hall. Ryan who works across the hall. No, he's in his will. He's going to work hard to become famous and successful and wealthy, and he's going to leave wealth to his family on the condition that they eat him. I'm sorry, were you drinking something? It's going to be in the will.
Is it the cook, the thief, his wife, his lover?
No, it's going to be in the will that they only get the money if they eat a large section of his body. But then there's the twist, the Emerson twist that I put on it. The deal is, they don't just have to eat his body after he's dead.
Is it worth different prices what they eat?
No. Well, close.
That's good.
Yeah. It's an eating contest, Stand By Me style.
But the thing is, God.
No, here's the thing.
No.
So you put four heaping, steaming portions of Ryan's corpse on plates. His family has to sit there. The person who eats the food the fastest, the person who consumes his dead body the fastest, wins. And the best part is the other three will have eaten him for nothing.
Oh, so
that's really the best part.
Splitting the money. The
no,
person,
no, the person
no
who
winner.
Eats his body the fastest wins.
Winner
the other three will have committed cannibalism for no reason. It's genius. They won't even have enough money to pay for their therapy.
Oh, my.
Hello. So we'll talk to our good friend Siegfried, who's also here in a moment. You may know him. Siegfried, you may know him from such films as Remote Control and Bigger Than Jesus.
This is really right up his alley, actually.
And then we get a break, and then we got to figure out what the hell we're doing. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with Scott Daly. Siegfried is going to tell you about something cool something you do want to know about. Mailman Chris will come on to give us an update on the program as well. Don't forget Tom Likas today, 3 to 7, live at Barracuda. Be there. Pack after this. Don't go anywhere. Here's the Cult. Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Rick Emerson Radio Program. Before we go one step further, let's welcome Mailman Chris to the Rick Emerson Show.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
I love that sounder. Mailman Chris, hello, sir.
How are you doing, buddy?
What's up, brother man?
Oh, not too much. I figured I'd call in and give you a recap of all the three items that you
see
for the day.
See, Rick Emerson managed expectations. He under-promised and over-delivered.
And over-deliver you did, because you did get the double worst story ever. Lisa Goddard and the Scotty J. Hair Check.
That's what I'm talking about. Bam! So there you go. So I'm where now, push-up-wise?
46.
In your face, everybody who's not me. So there you go. Fantastic. 46 push-ups. How could that go wrong?
That'll send. And it sounds like a party in the making down there. So As soon as
somebody sounds a little 67? Drunk. It sounds like there's going to be a hoedown.
A bunch of whippersnappers.
Yeah, seriously. Well, are you still going to be there, right?
I will. As soon as I get relieved here on the whole child sitting scene. Just don't tell Lycus I said that.
That's what I was waiting for. Thank you, sir. Mailman Chris, we'll see you at Barracuda tonight, my friend.
Today,
like half an hour, something like that. All right, there you go. Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. All right, there you go. We're here with Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio. He'll pimp some stuff here in a second, and we'll bring in our good friend Siegfried here to talk about the... I don't even know what a grindhouse movie is, so we'll talk about that in a second. Scotty J.
Yes.
All right, so we were talking during the break. So now, a source with inside information told me that you were feeling the slightest bit uneasy about this final segment of the program.
No,
it all rests on your narrow shoulders.
And it's we haven't done this before, so it's nothing bad to feel uneasy about.
No, I have a great idea, and that
this is just the way that adults touch
each
other.
Just playing a recycled show.
Yes, play a recycled show.
That's brilliant.
Yeah,
it's an idea.
Except that we're not going to do that.
You're not.
No. So that's a great idea. We're not going to do that.
Good.
So that's a fantastic idea. Now remove it from your head. Here's what's going to happen.
Okay.
No, the deal is that I don't know, at about 15 till. Sarah, will see that cell phone over there?
Yes.
Through the miracle of cellular technology, she's going to pick up the phone, she's going to dial the studio, and then we'll put that phone on the air, right?
Oh, great.
And then as though that...
Great idea.
And then as though that phone were a microphone, we will then be on the phone as we get in the cab, as we go to Barracuda.
So we're going
to
be riding in the cab talking to
you.
Describing...
Yes, describing, hey, we're passing. You know, just so we can describe the line. Everybody knows what's going on, blah, 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 blah. Kirk will be in here running the board. All you have to do is just kind of be... And what we'll do is I'll just kind of have you right where you are now on the microphone, and we'll just kind of talk back and forth. That's it. Ye need have nothing to worry.
Oh, okay.
Sounds good. You're terrified, aren't you?
No. No.
Okay.
Okay.
No pressure.
Sounds good.
Don't worry about it.
Nope.
Okay. No, don't snap. You're not going to buckle, are you?
I'll get my own cab.
You look like you're about to cry.
I feel like I'm always in the cab behind the cab. You know what I'm saying?
Honey, you got to build up to the main cab.
The cab behind the cab.
You realize you're putting the last 21 minutes in the hands of Scotty J of your show.
It's not really in the hands of him. It's in the hands of Kirk Myers, who I trust.
Okay.
Scotty J only thinks it's in his hands. He thinks that he's really
not
his hand on the table.
Not that I'm going to do much good, but I think I might stick around just to kind of be here for him.
He's sort of like the kid who thinks he's driving the car, but the driver's ed teacher has his own special brake that he can pull at any moment. At any moment, turns the whole thing off.
Oh, no, it's okay. It was supposed to do that.
Did you just drink that whole Viso?
I think I had too much Viso and not enough food.
Oh, great.
Not so very well.
Fantastic. Excellent.
Well, if my bagel wasn't so disgusting, then I'd be fine.
Okay, I want to make something clear of something you said a few minutes ago, Ray. Yeah. You know, you remember the scene from Flashdance where Jennifer Beals is sucking on a lobster.
I thought we were done with this.
Hold on, 10 minutes ago. But you don't know what a grindhouse film is?
I don't. Well, let's...
How's that for a segue?
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend Siegfried, who's one of our, sort of the circle of geeks, part of our sort of Portland Zoetrope film company kind of thing. We've done a lot of projects together. You worked on Remote Control, Bigger Than Jesus, blah, blah, blah.
Hola.
All right, so you know more about movies. I mean, you guys, and this is like, you're right there with Scott and Aaron. I mean, you know more movies than almost anybody I know.
Yeah, we're part of the Brain Trust with Huckleberry, yeah.
The Huckleberry Tree. By the way, yeah, the Huckleberry. Siegfried is the one who named Scott Daly Huckleberry for the, I don't like Tombstone. I think Wyatt Earp is the superior film. And man, it's funny. You want to talk about something that stuck with you. You got tagged like 5 minutes into your first appearance on the show, Scott, when you said, I don't like Tombstone. And then immediately, the audience just tagged you for life.
Every listener party.
Literally on your tombstone. On your actual tombstone when you die, it's going to say, like, eat it, Huckleberry. So, all right, Siegfried.
Well,
so
let's also say that Siegfried loves Titanic, so.
Oh. Yeah. Well, let's
who doesn't?
Titanic's a fine film.
Yes.
So I hear, and now, like a lot of geeks, I go to Ain't It Cool News a lot. Ain't It Cool? And they talk a lot about Grindhouse and Duck Press and... zombie this and spaghetti that, and I don't know what the hell. So what is a grindhouse film?
Grindhouse is, during the 1970s and 80s, there were, back to the 60s, there were all these films that were put in theaters that were kind of just kind of churned out. So there were just kind of, not B-movies, but just kind of exploitation films.
It's like Roger Corman movies, or?
You could consider Corman as it, but, like, you would say more like, say, like, samurai films or spaghetti westerns, zombie movies, of course, and they all kind of go into this one category, and it's just the essence of cool, and then that's what it's trying to go after.
I mean, the Tarantino's always talking about him and Robert Rodriguez. They're doing a project together. They're doing a movie together, right?
Yeah, Tarantino and Rodriguez are doing a film called Grindhouse, and it's essentially a two-hour film, but each filmmaker is taking 1 hour and making their own Grindhouse film. They're giving it the 70s, 80s kind of style. The film's a little scratchy, kind of choppy.
That's cool.
Ultra-violent, ultra-insane, and they're each taking a film. And in between the films, what ties the films together, they're each making up their fake 1970s Grindhouse type trailers.
Oh, right on.
And if Grindhouse does well, they're going to make another
Grindhouse. Make the trailers into movies.
Films.
That's
exactly.
So cool. Man.
Which is genius. And for the longest time, Robert Rodriguez's film called Planet Terror, which is the first part of Grindhouse, there was like 3 minutes online. Coolest thing you have ever seen. Rose McGowan has got a machine gun for a leg. That's all I'm saying.
Right on.
Fantastic.
That's cool.
So this is a thing that I feel like I ought to know about it because I'm so into movies and I just don't. So, but they're going to be, now there's a festival. Is it this weekend?
Yeah, the festival is this weekend, November 4th and 5th, of course. And we're kind of making it a little small because we want to cash it in next year when the actual Grindhouse.
So you want to kind of get people wet their appetites, and then so you can really, so when people are talking about it a lot because of Tarantino next year, they can.
This is the third year we've done it, and it incorporates Shaw Brothers films, which are like these old kind of Chinese movies that were just over the top, and they were just churned out, and great zombie movies. We've got a serial killer film, which we're doing also a serial killer double feature with a director speaking on Saturday night. It's a movie called Maniac with William Lustig.
I know that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Okay, excellent. What's the other one?
And then the double feature is Don't Go in the House, which is about a serial killer who has a giant flamethrower. And
I am so there. When is this?
It's like totally like Psycho, and it's just it's November 4th and 5th. And the double feature, it's $6 for the double feature. And I also encourage you to go the next night, Sunday, which we have Demons, which is a great zombie film. Produced by Dario Argento, which is kind of this obscure but really well done horror master, Italian horror master. And then we have They Call Her One Eye, which is kind of like Kill Bill kind of took the whole sequence with Daryl Hannah, and she's got the patch that was totally taken off from the Swedish film, and it's got a lot of nudity in it, and
excellent.
But tons of vengeance. And she just...
lot of nudity and tons of vengeance.
Yeah. She's got a shotgun, and she just wields it, and she's out for revenge. There's also, at 5 o'clock on Sunday, there's Sony Chiba's... I'm forgetting the name.
Who is
now.
The guy that's always referencing him? Is it Tarantino, or is it
Tarantino?
Or am I actually thinking of Travolta's character in Get Shorty? Remember?
No, Tarantino references him a lot in True Romance.
Christian Slater,
Chiba, Street Fighter
that's
Festival.
That's what I'm talking. Okay, Christian
and
Slater.
Chiba is in Kill Bill.
Mm-hmm. As
he's Hikori. Samurai Swordmaker.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, Hitanzu cool. Swordmaker, yeah.
And so it's a film made by him.
Yeah, and he also plays a father, and it's a girl in it. It's all, like, karate aspects, and the girl is out for vengeance, and it's just a beautiful
very
film.
Cool. All right, so it's shown. It's at the Hollywood Theater?
Hollywood Theater this weekend, and
do you have to buy tickets at the door, online, or...?
You can buy it at boxoffice.net, but actually just go to grindhousefilmfest.com, and all the information is all right there.
Can I buy one of those badass shirts there?
Yeah.
That's from last year, but I think there might be shirts this year. I'm not sure.
There's a really easy guy. Yeah, so that's very cool. Excellent. All right, so grindhousefilmfest.com?
Yes, grindhousefilmfest.com.
Grindhousefilmfest.com is going on this weekend at the legendary and historic Hollywood Theater where Aaron Geek and the City Duran got married at the Geekiest wedding ever. So there you go. So it's yeah, I'm just going to bleep that there. Consecrated with geek love. The R costs you extra.
Awkward.
Bam! All right, there you go. Best show ever. Hold on. We got a hold on. We got a question. Is this a question about... Scott, is this a question for Siegfried? I want to make sure this is about the film festival. Because it's sort of thing that our audience would totally eat up, and it's a thing that's totally... Okay, can you... we'll use the headphones. This is Lou. Lou, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Well, you're going to have the classic thriller killer. The guy ran around with a portable Makita, killing people with a hand drill.
Is this just a guy you knew, or...?
No, it's the movie, Thriller Killer. He ran around with a battery-operated drill, drilling people in the head and various other parts of the body.
Well, there you go.
He's a happy guy, isn't he?
Maybe next year. There's always the... Maybe the level, yeah.
I think.
there's no drill killing. He's not going.
I thought Huckleberry's like dream sequence we had earlier was
seriously, dude. That is completely effed up.
Yeah.
So I was there and I was eating Dennis Pitzenbacher and his wife.
There was no eating. It's
well,
just
not
we were
yet.
All
you
there.
Woke up.
It was freaky.
Why would they be dead on a table if you weren't about to eat them?
I have no idea. No, there were no utensils or anything. We were just
gonna
there.
Do it.
And they just rose and it was very.
Oh, they rose. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was creepy. I woke up a little terrified actually.
Be sure to ask Dennis about that when he's in on Tuesday. All right,
also,
fantastic.
I do want to say one more thing about Grindhouse is if you remember at the very beginning of Kill Bill Volume 1, just before the credits opened up, there was a Shaw Brothers Cinescope
thing. Yeah.
That's
where this is from.
Homage to the Shaw Brothers Grindhouse films.
All right, very cool.
Fantastic. If you haven't seen them, just totally go ahead and
check. And then the Tarantino Rodriguez trailer is online.
Yeah, I think it was on YouTube for a while. I think it got pulled, though.
All right. Well, it's out there somewhere. The movie comes out next year.
Yeah, it comes out in April.
Planet Terror?
No, the film is called Grindhouse. Rodriguez's farm, or section is called Planet Terror. Tarantino's section is Death Car?
Yeah.
I think like that.
It's changing the name.
With Kurt Russell is in it.
Excellent.
It's just, God, it just looks amazing.
Very cool. Fantastic. What's up at FilmFeverRadio.com?
We're going to have not one, but two shows up, my friends, this weekend because the geek is back. He showed me how to actually put up the actual show we were supposed to do last week. So we'll have two films up, and this week we talk about sci-fi films, and we have some Bruce Campbell Spider-Man news.
Excellent.
And I review the new Reservoir Dogs DVD, which, by the way, I misspoke last week. There is a commentary.
No, I don't believe it.
Okay.
I'll believe it when it's at my house and I'm listening
all
to
right.
it.
All right. I will bring it for
that
you.
That guy screwed me like eight different times
you,
on the commentary.
And we also review one of the great animated film, Over the Hedge, which came out a few weeks ago, which is really a DreamWorks animation film. It's fantastic.
Excellent.
It's got William Shatner, Bruce Willis, and Steve Carell. It's really, really funny.
So there you go. So
plus Clyde Lewis Ground Film Fever with Ground Zero Lounge is going to be up this weekend as well. So
FilmFeverRadio.com.
And don't forget,
website.
Our Evil Dead 2 commentary is still available for a few weeks left.
You're just a pimping, whoring machine.
Doing what I can, man.
You've been hanging out with Clyde too long.
Yeah.
Rick, let me enter the 14th minute talking about ways you can give me your money.
All right, I'll shut up. See, the thing about Film Fibrito costs you nothing, my friend. There's no money involved.
And we're done.
Not yet.
All right, Scott Dally, ladies and gentlemen.
So we should head down to our cab.
And GrindhouseFilmFest.com. All right, so Sarah Dillon, before we leave, let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
We are heading down to, it's brought to you by Northwest Mobile DJ. Thank you, Scott. It's very amusing. It's very funny. Let me ask you this. So we got Tom Likas. He's doing a show live from Barracuda in about 20 minutes from now, 3 to 7. No reservation, no ticket, no whatever. Just grab your ID, be 21, be there. It's going to be a good time. Let me ask you this, because Kirk Myers is going to step in here. He's going to take over the board. Scotty will be here. We'll call in. We'll talk. Well, whatever. Let
so
me
your
ask you
phone
this.
Won't work for 20 minutes? I don't know if mine's going to last.
It will. I just want to have it work tonight while I'm at the place, too. Because I got to talk to Susan or, you know, whatever while I'm there. If yours goes dead, we can use mine. Tim's got one, too. My question is...
I have things to do tonight, too. I don't want my phone to be dead.
I'm people who knows people.
You know, those batteries are rechargeable.
I don't have my charger on me, though.
Moving forward, my question is, Sarah Dillon, producer, your last act today, do you want to take the break now, come
and then
back,
we'll run down.
Come back and do like just 12 minutes all the way to the top, or do you want to start, you know, call up now, start now, and then have Kirk break at the top and go right into Likas?
Choose and perish.
Yeah, let's break at the top.
She
all right.
Chose
all right,
me.
So you should call now. Please not to be calling in. And then as soon as your line is... And this week, if Kirk, yeah, if you want to come on in. And Scotty J, if you want to enter the studio as well. We'll see how chaotic we can make this. Is that the hotline? Is that you?
Yeah.
Is this the party to whom I'm... Hello?
Hello.
Fantastic. All right. All right.
Where are you, Sarah Dillon?
All right.
This is too weird.
All right. So here's the deal. Scotty J, please not to be entering the studio. I say. All right. Scotty J... Here's the deal. So, Sarah?
Yes.
All right. You want to hand me your phone?
Okay.
All right. I'm taking off my headphones. All right.
Turning off the microphone. All right. And we are still on the air? Hello? All right. Fantastic. Sold. Radio Gold.
Okay, so am I following you? Wait, I need to set up the break.
All right. So here's the deal. We are getting ready to...
Kirk, do you want me to back
radio is what this is.
Echo.
We are getting ready to leave the studio. And we are going to be walking down, getting in the cab. Scotty J., you will stay on this microphone here. You and I will talk back and forth. And then here's what you need to do. What we'll do is, Kirk, we will take this final break, sort of close at the top, and we'll go right from that into Lycus. So Sarah will let you know when we're going to back time from. And what we'll do is when it's time for break, Scotty, you need to come on the microphone and just say, Rick, we're getting ready to break. We're getting ready to go out. And we will be en route to Barracuda. So we are now on the air live via cell phone. This is, you know what I feel like? I feel like Jack Horner when I'm in that limo with Heather Graham. We're on the lookout. Live on videotape. Fantastic. All right, we want to thank Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. We want to thank Siegfried from a Grindhouse Film Festival, GrindhouseFilmFest.com. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop, Ed McCarthy, Lisa Goddard as well, and so forth, and whatnot. So here I am, standing in the studio, speaking here, standing.
Okay, I'm done.
Are we leaving?
Yeah.
All right, I'm grabbing my viso, and I've got my jacket, I've got my laminate, I've got my whatever. We're ready to rock? All right.
Goodbye,
Goodbye. All right. Okay. Tim Riley now entering the studio as we get ready to leave.
I can't wait to go.
All right. And then, Scotty, you will come on the microphone and tell me when we're about ready to go to the final break. All right? All right. So we are now leaving the studio. And, Scotty, if you would please say something here so I can make sure that I hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. Is it raining where you are?
Yes.
All right, okay. So we are now leaving the station. We are walking out the door, walking through the lobby of CBS Radio Portland, en route to Tom Lycus. It is a beautiful lobby. Walk en route to Tom Lycus, live at Barracuda.
Bye, Carol. Have fun storming the castle.
All right. Now leaving, walking out. This is either going to end up being a really... this is either going to be the best bit or the worst bit.
We're on the escalator now.
We're now on an escalator. We're halfway down the escalator.
Three-quarters of the way down.
I have 10 minutes left of airtime to fill. And here we are, walking outside. The best part of this, by the way, is how Sarah has carefully chosen sunglasses that she cannot possibly wear today because it's, like, pitch black and dingy outside. All right. Scotty, is the cab supposed to be up front?
Yes, he's on the Morton side there, Rick.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry, it's what? Scotty?
Yes, can you hear me?
So, is the cab supposed to be lurking outside?
On the Morton side.
On the Morton side.
That's right.
On the Morton side of the street. Let's walk outside now. It's raining, cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria, blah, blah, blah. We're now walking down. You know what this is like? This is just like that Chris Rock special where he's walking from backstage. Oh, there's the cab right there. All right, and we're ready to go. Okay, we are now entering the cab. We are walking. Even if it's not our cab, we're taking it. By force of way. Thank you, sir. God bless you, sir. God bless you. I call shotgun. Sarah called not bitch. I believe. I think we're all winners here today. All right, we're now in the cab with Dante, the cab driver, who has promised that he will not kill us and dispose of our bodies in a shallow grave.
Oh, it'll be a big grave.
Scotty, thank you. He's promised it'll be a deep grave. Scotty J., is this sounding just as gripping as I imagine?
It sounds more gripping.
All right, now, so I know, because I'm using a, as John Candy would say, how do you feel about a Casio? What is the exact time now, Scotty?
Exact time is about 2:51.
2:51. Now, when you can ask Kirk there, who is ably manning the board. Now, are we breaking directly at the top?
Kirk, are we going to break directly at the top?
What time am I breaking?
50 seconds after 3 exactly.
Okay,
so we got
exactly.
About
okay.
9 minutes or so.
So what you'll want to do is, as we get closer to that, you'll want to count me down so we can sort of make a graceful exit here. We are now in the cab, broadcasting history being made, I say, hoping that somebody believes that it's true. We're Now, are you talking about me?
No, we're talking about somebody else.
Grumpy. I'm not grumpy. You're grumpy. Shut your hole. Hello. So we are now, where the hell are we now? How can I make it more exciting?
We have Vito in the trunk.
We have Vito in the trunk and a cheerleader. All right. So we are now at the intersection of Clay and Second. The intersection of Clay, and there's some sort of a joke in here, but I don't even know what it is. Driving down. Now, again, if you are hearing us right now, there is still time to get the Barracuda to see Tom walk on stage. I'm telling you, people have asked me. Okay, I have to tell you, I swear to God this is true. There's a truck in front of us from Just Out magazine, which is a magazine for alternative lifestyles. I swear to God this is true. We almost just rear-ended the Just Out truck. I swear to God that's absolutely true. Dante, what is he doing? He's trying to kill us. Oh, the guy in front of us?
The guy in front of us, he's on meth.
The guy in front of us is on meth. Not really. Admit him, possibly. So he's on. Yeah, he's an evangelical. He's stalking the Just Out truck.
You know, Rick, a picture of you getting out of the cab near the Just Out truck would be a really good picture.
I don't wish to pose with the Just Out truck, but thank you, Scotty. All right, he has a bumper sticker on his truck that I love, which is the Republicans for Voldemort. I love that sticker. So here's the thing. People have asked us, well, look, you know, Tom is doing the show at 3:06. Why don't you just get off the air and go down then? And here's the thing. We were talking about this earlier, that we had Tom in the studio yesterday, and I, you know, we've been doing radio for a long time. Tim has been on radio for a long time. But it really is, it's a great, cool thing when you see Tom walk on stage for the first time. And I'm going to hand the phone to Sarah for a second, who's just going to talk about, because some people say... is, you know, like if you're a woman, you disagree with a lot of things he says. You're a guy, you find him whatever. Even if you're not necessarily, you know, into Tom's viewpoints, you don't agree with him, it's a great show. I'll hand you to Sarah Dillon for just a second.
Who am I talking to? Hi, Scotty.
How's it going?
Are you guys to meet your father today?
Are you guys all crammed in the back seat?
No, Tim and I are hanging out in the back seat. Rick called shotgun.
Oh, I see.
Sitting up with Dante. Okay, so about the Like Us Listener parties. Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of his. I'm not a fan of his show at all. I had to run it for 2 years. It wasn't fun. Wasn't a highlight. But you can't deny how ridiculous his listener parties are. If you want to see... I'm sorry. I mean, there are some really nice people there, but if you also want to see the lowest common denominator of society and see them shirtless running around, it's like the best thing ever.
Hey, I'll be there.
I know you will, Scotty J. Oh, there's a listener. Oh, this is Todd the Corpse. Hello. Wait, Rick's taking back. Hang on.
Okay, we're in traffic next to Todd the Corpse.
Hi. Show me your rock. Woo!
Yeah. We are now in traffic next to Todd the Corpse.
You never come to any of my events, you bastard.
I'm fucking Aaron. Okay, if you couldn't hear that, I just told Tom the Corpse he never goes to any of my events. His response is,
I'm not going. I'm running an errand for my wife.
Sir, you need Like Us more than anyone, running an errand for my wife. You're really just stalking us, aren't you? I thought you lived in the suburbs.
I live in Tigers.
What are you doing here? I'm picking up shoes. Scotty, are you listening?
Yes, I am. I got the earmarks.
Are you hearing this?
Well, I use the same excuse to my wife.
What's that?
I use the same excuse to my wife so I could go to Like Us.
Is that what you know? Where does your wife think you're going to be tonight, Scotty?
I told her I was running a couple errands, and I'll be right back.
Running a couple errands. Let me ask you this, Scotty. Now, look, I don't mean to cast aspersions on Mrs. J or the many little J's, but is this tonight? Is this just an opportunity for you to be away from your family?
Is this an opportunity to be... you kind of broke up a little bit there, but...
Is this an opportunity for you to flee your family?
Well, that's what Mrs. J thinks, but she laid it all out on the table before she dropped me off down here.
Is this going to be another night where we're going to come back to Barracuda at like 2:30 in the morning and you're going to be just drinking alone in a corner, playing solitaire, weeping and stinking of urine?
Heck no, I'm karaokeing it up tonight.
Heck no, I'm karaokeing it up tonight. Let me, singing Patsy Cline songs, cutting yourself. Let me ask you this. Now, is it true that you went down and maxed out your ATM card prior to this event today?
It's possible.
It's possible. Because Scotty J came up and he's like, is there an ATM around here? And Tim and I were like, yeah, at the bottom of the escalator. He's like, okay. And I swear to God, this is what Scotty said. He said, I'm going to max this baby out.
Oh, my
Yeah. Now, just
hold on.
Hold
on. I
heard that. Did you talk to Mrs. J? Have you already used your allowance?
Yeah, I got my allowance from the lobby today.
Did you?
That is funny.
Was it her money?
Probably.
Are you lying to your family to go out and spend your wife's money while you stay out with the whores and karaoke bars?
No. And what's this about whores?
Who said what about whores?
That's what I'm saying. What is this about?
There are no whores, Scotty J.
Okay, good.
All right, I'm going to give you back your drink.
So does that mean that you're buying drinks for all?
That's why I took out the entire $10. So I could buy drinks for everybody.
Okay, we are now outside Barracuda. We are pulling up at Barracuda, festooned with AM970 banners. All right, Dante, thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
No, thank you. God bless you. We're now getting out.
You're not.
I thought you were paying for the cab.
Get out of my cab.
Thank you. Thank you, Dante. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Easter Bunny. Pop, pop.
All right, getting out of the cab. We are now approaching Barracuda. It is the best show ever. Thank you, sir. What is your name?
Kyle.
God bless you, sir. Thank you. We're here with a young, strapping lad named Kyle as we enter approach the Barracuda. Hello, Kino. How are you, sir?
Yeah.
All right, Scotty. Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right. What time is it now exactly, Scotty?
We're looking at 7. Oh, I keep looking at the upper one, but it's 2:57, right?
It is 2:57, so we are now 2 minutes away from our final break, which will then be leading us into the Tom Likas program. We hear Barracuda, the floor full of people, looks like drinks being served. Hello, sir. Thank you. What do we have to do? All right. What am I doing? A man is... I'm being grabbed roughly by a man who's steering us towards the stage. All right, we are walking now this way toward to somewhere. We're being, we're now being shoved through a thing into another thing. What are we doing? Hello.
Hello.
Hi. All right, Scotty, what is the exact time now?
The exact time right now is 2:58 and 32 seconds.
How long until the break?
50 seconds after 3. So I'll let you know. We're looking at about 2-3 minutes.
So tell me when I've got like 1 minute left. Can you do that?
Yep, absolutely.
All right, we're at Barracuda, and it looks, the place is already packing out. The event hasn't even started. Tom hasn't even taken the stage yet. And I know that as the night goes on, these things build. The craziness just increases. And so I'm looking out right now, and the crowd, there's hot chicks, there's dudes, there's beverages of all kinds flowing. There's music. The stage ready for Tom to take the stage to begin his national broadcast. The staff, the crew is ready. Gary Zabransky, producer, I just saw him standing backstage preparing for Tom, who's in the green room doing his final preparations, getting ready to come up and to rock the house, as the young people say. All right, how long do I have, Scotty?
Well, I have one question for you. You have a little over a minute or two, but is the big lit ball starting to drop at this point now, Rick?
I'm sorry, can you say it one more time?
Is the big lit up ball starting to drop right now?
The ball is not dropping yet, so to speak, but this is. If you've been to Barracuda, you know that they do have the United States' largest disco ball. The largest disco ball in the continental United States is located here. Just one of the many things that makes Barracuda an exciting place to hang out. Yes, sir, thank you. It is an exciting new direction in Portland broadcast here.
Yeah, you just had to say that.
With the giant disco ball. All right. How long do I have now?
We're going to go ahead and start counting down right now. So you got a total of about 30 seconds if you want to just wrap it up.
30 seconds now. All right. So we want to thank the Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah Stone, for AM970 Television Radio News Director Tim Riley, Scotty J., the man with a plan and a four-door sedan. We want to thank Kirk Myers for coming in and rocking the board a little earlier. Come to Barracuda. We are here live. 3-7, Tom Likas is doing his show, Barracuda 9, Northwest 2nd. If you don't come tonight, I will find you and beat you senseless with a tire iron. And I mean that figuratively, of course, with love. All right, Scotty J., thank you. And Scotty, come on down and meet your dad, as the case may be. Thank you so much. Rick Emerson Show, out.